This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck.
With your hosts, Dan Wiederer and Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello and welcome into the Take the North podcast, along with Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. I'm Mark Grody of Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This is going to be a great episode. We have a Take the North, a TTN exclusive today with Ryan Poles. You are going to hear from him on Ben Johnson, what's ahead for Caleb Williams, because our guy Dan Wiederer was at the at the owners' meetings, and he did get some time with Poles, so we are definitely going to bring you that. But Dan, as we broadcast right now, Take the North, it is April 10th. 1 week from today, April 17th. That, ladies and gentlemen, in life is a Thursday. Take the North will be doing a live show, 6 to 7 p.m. on The Score, broadcasting live from The Score's Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. If you would like to be, and we would like you to be, a part of the live studio audience for that show, you can be. I am being told that we still have some open spots. 670thescore.com/contest to enter for your chance to win your way in. And Dan, we at the beginnings of these podcasts, we're always talking about what we're going to do. We're concocting some good ideas for that live show next Thursday.
Yeah, I heard you on the air on 670 this week refer to it as the most important episode in Take the North history. So we are setting the stakes pretty high there. This is an all-in show that we're going to do from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. I know I've cast a little bit of a net to some of my VIP folks in my network, trying to get some of the locals to come down. Two of my closest friends that are loyal TTN listeners live in North Carolina and Oklahoma City. They're not going to be able to make it on the 17th. They're going to have to listen.
I would be very proud of them if they did.
I'll also tell you that is 1 week from the draft as well. So we are 1 week from the most important episode of Take the North, and that episode of Take the North is 1 week out from the first round of the NFL draft.
And I will add to that, we could just keep doing this, Dan, going back and forth on this. Let me try to one-up you now. Guess what? Thursday, April 17th is also a day in which you and I will be at Hallis Hall, right? Isn't that our next media availability? So what a perfect day for the podcast. Amongst all the guests and people that we're working on getting, I shouldn't act like we're going to have 1,000 guests. It's an hour-long show, but you never know who's going to walk into the performance studio. Lots of famous people have walked in there. But April 17th is a day that we will be at Hallis, and we will have fresh audio, fresh perspectives, and all the important stuff, because that's what Dan and I do. We cover the Bears just about every single day of our lives. We are at Hallis Hall. We are at the games. We are at every single thing that the Bears do. And one of the things that Dan was at recently was in Florida for the owners' meetings, and I know you got some time with the Bears general manager, Ryan Poles.
Yeah, Grody, you're working on some bigger stories for the Chicago Tribune and some things that we've got cooking up, and got an extensive visit with Ryan Poles in mezzanine room 3 at the Breakers Resort in Palm Beach, nice. Florida, if you're looking to set a scene on where we took care of this business. But I thought he was very insightful, introspective, pretty open with some thoughts on some key topics. And so we're going to run you through kind of a little bit of a recap of some of the things that Ryan and I talked about a week ago. Obviously, Ben Johnson is one of the top storylines in town right now for the Bears and Chicago sports in general. Obviously, Ben Johnson's relationship with Caleb Williams has come to the forefront, which we talked about on our most recent episode as well. And then you've just got to have a little bit of a vision as an organization for how you pair these guys together and what you're expecting to get out of them, both long-term and in the short-term, which when we're talking short-term here, Grody, we're talking about the month of April. We're talking about the OTAs in May. We're talking about that mini camp in June and everything that kind of gets you on that runway toward training camp, which is where everything will intensify. And so really good opportunity to talk with the general manager of the Bears. We're going to start it out with our conversation about Ben Johnson, the coach that Ryan Poles was head over heels for, went out and made a big swing for and connected on. And Ben Johnson arrived in January as the new coach of the Chicago Bears, has created quite a union with his general manager. Here's Ryan Poles on the nature of that relationship.
I wanted to start with the energy that seems to be there in the early stages of you and Ben. Mm-hmm. And from the outside looking in, it feels like there's a natural click.
Yeah.
How do you describe why and what you've experienced kind of the last couple of months with that?
I think there's just a couple of things. I think there's a natural connection in terms of how we see things. I don't want this to come kind of off the wrong way or being compared to the past. I think there's something really cool about working with someone that's like close to your age too. Mm-hmm. Just that overall energy and the hunger and competitive fire that you have, even the way that you talk and kind of see the world. So I think that's played a big part in our connection. And then, you know, there's some, you know, connections of where we've worked,
right,
people that we've worked with, that makes it really natural too. But I think also from where I came from in KC, just the offensive vibe, the creativity part of how he sees things that connects more than I had in the past.
Do you have a different feeling watching 2024 Lions tape now than you had maybe the last couple of years?
Yeah. Like even at these annual meetings, they put up, you know, some of the plays. And even you see Ben going crazy on the sidelines, sprinting up and down, where they weren't very funny in the moment or fun in the moment. You're like, all right, you know, I can't wait to see that energy on our side.
So you said at the combine that, like, he gets kind of miscast a little bit, or the portrayal of him is a little mm-hmm. bit vague. And I said to him yesterday, I said, it feels like you've got a competitive dickishness mm-hmm. in the most complimentary way possible.
Yeah.
Do you feel that, like, that like edge that he seems to carry?
I do, and it's funny when you scout players, you're always asking, you know, do you have to push this player or do you have to pull him back? And the narrative made me feel like, you know, he was going to have to be pushed. But really, the truth is, you know, he's probably going to have to be pulled back
yeah.
more than anything, just because of the fire that he does have and how, you know, the competitive attitude that he brings is outstanding. And he's a truth teller. And I think that's going to be well received by the entire building. I know it is.
And the city, too. I think, he said that, like, his goal is to embarrass opponents. And that's bluntly, like, you know, I'm not just trying to beat you. I'm trying to beat you in a way that leaves you feeling a certain way.
Yeah, and that's just the mentality, you know, that we're asking our players to have. And now having, you know, staff that thinks that way and prepares that way is going to be fun.
Grody, I thought that was some good stuff in the moment, and then when I listened back to it as we were getting ready for this episode, it was still good stuff. And I just feel like the general manager is on it with a couple things there.
It's so relevant to what we heard this week at Hallis Hall, because you asked him about, and I'm just working from the end of your conversation right there, that he wants to. That they were, Jalen Johnson was talking about wanting to win in a certain way. I followed up with Jalen. He said that is to basically demolish teams. You just said, you just asked Ben Johnson that question from a week ago. And so now you start to understand where this message is coming from and who's taking it seriously. And clearly it's pretty nice when a guy on the defense and Jalen Johnson is taking that message as seriously as he did. Other takeaways here, Dan, that I had, one of the things like right off the bat was they got Ben Johnson. Like it hit me again. They got that guy. So it hit me there. I am interested. You asked the question about there being a natural connection. And I believe that there is. And I totally see where he's coming from with the age thing. We all like can be at times more comfortable with the people that are similar in age. And sometimes it works differently for different people. So I totally, like, I have no issue with that whatsoever. The one thing, though, I would say is this had to be a natural connection. If these two did not, like, Ryan Poles had to know when Ben Johnson walked into that building, you need to marry that guy. You need to work. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, you talk about building a relationship. We talk about it with Caleb Williams. Look, Ryan Poles had a rough year last year. They now have this ridiculously highly paid head coach who walks into Hallis Hall with big time power. Ryan Poles has to have this relationship with him, or he's going to be in trouble.
You heard me for years sort of question why Ryan was so married to Matt Eberflus, right? Like, we know that he hired him to be the head coach in 2022. We know he stood behind him through a whole series full of turbulent episodes over the last couple of years. And I always just wondered, because their personality types never seemed compatible to me. Now, listen, there are people in that building that told me, you guys only see Matt in front of the media. You only see Matt in a certain way. You don't see how he is behind the scenes and how well he and Ryan got along. That's fair. I always question, though, was that compatibility at a level that needed to be to succeed in the NFL? This compatibility right out of the gates feels very natural to me. It feels very organic. It doesn't feel forced. And you can tell that it's not just the age thing. There's a shared energy. There's a shared vision. And there are things that Ryan Poles is really leaning into with Ben Johnson. I also thought it was really notable that his impressions of Ben Johnson have changed since last season, where he kind of saw him from the outside and through the portrayal of Ben Johnson as this kind of brainy, inward guy who's just smart. And he's really come to appreciate how intense and competitive and passionate Ben is. So when he talks about, listen, like, there may be points where we're going to have to pull back on Ben a little bit, it's an acknowledgement that there's a fire deep inside of Ben Johnson that burns hot. And that they're going to use that to kind of fuel them, but they also understand that that's a very real thing there that they're going to try to get the most out of, right?
Do you think when Ben Johnson pulled off the stumble bum against the Bears, Ryan Poles was like, "You mother," or was it actually the Bears? I talked about this on the score. The Bears defended the Penei Sewell pass pretty well. Actually.
They did,
yeah,
they did. And don't forget, because you were in that building that day. What always kind of struck me about that play was that it was a sack, right? Like, it was a loss of one on the box score, but Ford Field came alive. And when we're talking about mentality and mindset, it was like, they didn't care that the play didn't work. They cared that they tried that play on the opening drive of a Thanksgiving Day game. And it was like LFG, right? Like, that was the vibe when Penei Sewell was running with the football and did what he was supposed to do. If the play's not there, just eat it and take the loss. That's real, right? Like, that's real. And that's how you create energy within a team. It's how you create energy in a city. Ben Johnson succeeded at that in Detroit. Now the mission here is to do it in a similar way. You marry that up there with what Ryan said about having his Kansas City background shape him a little bit of feeling like, oh yeah, I remember what it's like to have a very creative offensive wizard in my building trying to do this thing. And so I think Ryan's really eager to see that unleashed as well.
Yeah, I think we all are to see what exactly it's going to look like with the Bears. I mean, we know that Ben Johnson has talked a lot about, you know, you sort of got to earn that, and the basics have to be taken care of, and the heart. It's so funny, like, it keeps coming up. I heard, who was it? Rappaport. We were playing some Rappaport comments on the score, and he was doing the same thing that Ben Johnson. He said, "Oh, it's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard. What the hell is going to go on in this training camp, man? Everybody like, are we going to get 2 days back? What is going, like, it?" I don't know if they're overstating the case or if they're really trying to get through to Caleb Williams. I'm not sure. You tell me, Dan.
I think it's the latter. I think it's the preparing your young quarterback to understand the investments needed time-wise, energy-wise, all of those things to be great at this position, at this level. That is a huge, huge ask of any player. And Caleb wants to be one of the best that's ever played. Well, it starts with being good, right? Like, let's baby step it up to trying to win multiple Super Bowls and say, okay, your path to becoming a good NFL quarterback relies on you understanding that difficulty is part of the journey, and that you have to really embrace that. And you have to understand that the reason coaches are asking a lot of you is because that's the path, right? Like, that's how you get to the top of the mountain. There is no gondola that gets you a shortcut up to the top. You've got to climb that yourself. You got to be ready to make that climb. That is a little bit of a natural segue, because I know you were with me at the Ben Johnson introductory press conference in January when we had Ryan Poles off to the side. And one of the things that we asked him was, hey, how is this hiring? How is Ben Johnson's arrival going to help elevate Caleb Williams? And one of the things that Ryan said was, it's going to challenge him to be a professional football player. Ben is going to make sure that he does all the little things right. And that was one of those, like, oh God, ears, radar going off, alarm bells going off. Had a chance to ask Ryan Poles about that sentiment and what was behind it. Here's a little bit of that exchange.
You talked at his hiring about his union with Caleb, being able to push Caleb to be a professional football player and do little things right. Can you elaborate or specify on that, some of the things that you think he'll be able to unlock in Caleb in that regard?
Yeah, I think just the discipline of the position. You know, it's been brought up before, but just like, you know, body language and the ups and downs of a game. You know, I think that's just going to be called out quickly, more bluntly than it was in the past. Because at that position specifically, like that moves the needle on other people in other positions, and everyone's watching. Even like a lot of times we assume someone knows how to prepare, how to watch tape, how to take notes, like all those little things. And Ben's one that, you know, doesn't assume anything. I think he's going to really, you know, bring that to the studs and build them up in a way that he could be even more confident when he walks into a stadium.
When it comes to his maturation process, Caleb's, it feels like there's a difference between maybe work habits and work ethic, if that makes sense. And that, like, can you speak to that in terms of, like, the year two, like, this is NFL quarterback demands responsibility. It's not that he's afraid of doing the work. It's just doing it properly, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because Caleb's work ethic has never been a problem. I mean, he shows up early, stays late. But I think, you know, that it's the habits that I know, you know, Ben is going to hit and get right. And that sometimes can be uncomfortable, because if you don't know something, you're going to have to own that, and you're going to have to really develop a new process, and that can be uncomfortable sometimes. But I think that's what's necessary to be really good in this league, and it's really a race to really solidify those habits to go along with your talent and your work ethic in order to be a good quarterback and be able to sustain a high-level play for a long time.
Great stuff. Again, couple of takeaways right away. I like the way you guys put that. The Caleb Williams, not afraid of doing the work, but just doing it properly. Because I don't like the idea that there's been this aura of, or air of, oh man, is Caleb Williams, is he just goofing off? Is he lazy? What's going on here? Is he got attitude? And I never saw any of that, obviously. So the way you guys put that, I think, is perfect, that it's okay that he still has to learn how to be a quarterback in this league. The other thing, Dan, is the body language thing.
Yeah,
I found that fascinating, because I always felt like that's something that we made a big deal out of and was a great sports talk. Oh, there's Caleb Williams laying down on the bench and, you know, putting his head down. And I know he's talking about quarterback, but there were plenty of points last year where DJ Moore had bad body language. And that goes with the chemistry, I think, that was non-existent early on with those two. Now it got better. And I'm not trying to stir anything up. You and I both know that those two get along backstage and everything, but it was a process getting those two together. So I found that fascinating.
Well, and that was volunteered by the general manager. He brought up body language. I didn't ask about body language. Yeah. He brought that up. And so disposition means something. And when you're the hub of energy for an entire football team, an entire football franchise, you have to understand, in Ryan's words, that there are certain things that quote unquote move the needle, and the way that you are kind of, you know, expressing your emotions and dealing with your demeanor is something that they're going to dial in on, because as you said, you don't want those camera shots where it's like dramatic and Caleb slumped out, you know. It's like, no, like, get it together. Let the whole world know that you're strong. You're ready to roll. The next series can't come soon enough. And we're good. Like we're good in this situation. So that's a part of the development. Like it's easy to forget that these are, you know, 22, 23, 24 year old kids at times, and they're still working through a maturation process. Caleb is there. Along with that, as you mentioned, like the acknowledgement that Ben Johnson isn't afraid to hit basics as it relates to not assuming that Caleb knows how to watch tape properly, not assuming that his study habits and the structure of his study habits during a game week are where they need to be. And so when Ryan talks about tearing it down to the studs in that regard, there is a challenge here to Caleb Williams to, like, let's figure out the routine that not only works for you, but that works in the NFL. You know, it can't just be, oh, this works for me, so I'm going to stick with it. Well, it doesn't work for 12 losses, right? Like, we've got to maybe refine some things. And so I think there's going to be a challenge there. And you heard Ryan put it there at the end, that it's a race to solidify those habits, was his exact expression there, as he tries to marry up this otherworldly talent with Caleb Williams, with a work ethic that everyone in the building feels strongly about, with habits that can then bring those two things to the forefront. Fascinating experiment at House Hall with the most important player in the organization. And it's clear that they are looking to shake things up a little bit.
It's something that happens with a lot of top-notch athletes, and keeping it at quarterback, that they have been able to do it their way, a certain way, and completely, and understandably, John, this is not like ripping on his past coaches. When you're that naturally gifted and talented, and my God, relative to the competition in high school and college, we know what he did. This is a different league, and stars, it ain't always going to be that easy. It's been hard for many other top quarterbacks previous to Caleb Williams. So it's going to be really interesting to see if he learns that, and if that makes a big difference for him.
One more thing on that before we get to our very last cut, because I do think that Ryan Poles saw how delicate job security in the NFL can be last year, right? Like, I think there were probably some points where he didn't fall asleep at night and didn't have that full-on certainty that he was going to be the general manager of the Chicago Bears in 2025. And when you see that through eyes that are very attached to the situation, you say, well, wait a minute. Like, I have to acknowledge how all in the chips are on this player, right? Like, we have invested our entire professional livelihood on the development of Caleb Williams. And so we have to make sure going forward after that disastrous 2024 that we're on it. And we're on the details, that we're dotting the I's, crossing the T's, doing all the things that are there. I think you can get kind of shaken up as a general manager and to being like, okay, like, let's be on our P's and Q's. And you and I have talked a lot amongst ourselves and with the players at House Hall about accountability. You're starting to hear some more sentiments about trying to increase that for everybody in the building in 2025, but certainly for the quarterback.
Yeah. And I think it's such a great point about Ryan Poles. I mean, for the first time, there was no excuse last year. As it turns out, there probably were, because you had the wrong head coach and the wrong coordinator, but that goes on Ryan Poles' watch
right.
Well, and Dan, there's something too that he always says, and I've asked Ryan Poles about this in the past, like, it's a different animal than anything that he has been a part of in his career. Even Kansas City, I get how crazy that was. Like, he says it all the time, man. He's like, it's life in the big city. It's different in the big city. It's different. And he talks about that relative to his players. He's got to think about the guys that can you handle a big market like Chicago?
Yeah, it's part of the story, you know, and I said going into last year that the city of Chicago was going to be a major character in the 2024 Bears season, and indeed it was. Those are a couple macro conversation points that we hit on here in the last 10-15 minutes here. The last one is a little bit more micro. It's a little bit more present focused on what the Bears need to get out of the union between Ben and Caleb during the spring, and just a little bit about the evolving nature of their relationship. Here's Ryan Poles discussing that part of the conversation.
Last things, Thomas Brown at the end of last season had given a pretty thorough evaluation of Caleb, and one of the things he said is that he thinks at times quarterbacks in this league can be babied too much. Mm-hmm. What is your kind of assessment of that, and how you get the most out of a quarterback and trying to work through that kind of tricky dynamic of being supportive but also being demanding?
Yeah, I think it's creating expectations of how you want things done. And then the fine line he probably is talking about is, like, you don't want to take, especially in today's NFL and today's quarterback, you don't want to take the creativity away from some of these guys that are amazing when they're in an ad-lib situation. But there are going to be some basics where we got to play within the lines on these other plays, and that's really your foundation. And then you let the other things kind of come to you. So when to be demanding and when to let them kind of do their thing, I think that's what gets mixed up a little bit. So I know Ben will have that established in terms of, you know, doing what we need the quarterback position to do. If it's not done, you know, I think that's where he's going to be blunt with the feedback. And I know from doing all the work with Caleb, like, that's what he needs to be successful. He knows he needs that. And I think that relationship is going to be really good.
What has to happen between the two of them in the spring?
Just getting to know each other, but I think it's the commitment to do things the right way and building those habits. But I think, like any relationship, there's time where you're just going to have to understand, you know, the volume someone can handle. Just developing an overall relationship, I think, is going to probably be the most important piece, because, you know, I think that's where trust is developed. And I know that with players, specifically players of today, once they know that you can help them be successful, they'll do anything for you.
Yeah.
And once that gets established, and I'm confident it's going to happen fast, the sky's going to be the limit for their relationship.
Well, you know, I think that the resume is so good for Ben Johnson, and that's why he's here. But one thing that, as far as I know, in terms of being in charge of, he's never developed or been responsible for developing a young quarterback like this. He had the luxury of Jared Goff. And I know he had a lot to do with kind of transforming Jared Goff and getting him to a level where people could say, yeah, man, maybe he was worth the number one overall pick. But that's a veteran mind. This is a different animal. So it's still, I still have a lot of confidence in Ben Johnson, but this is one of those times where you're like, there is a little bit of a leap of faith when it comes to, can Ben Johnson be the one to unlock Caleb Williams or any young, talented quarterback?
Right. I don't want to get too far off course here, but it does kind of trigger in me these thought processes that we had with Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky, where it was like, man, like, Matt would get very frustrated with things that Mitch didn't understand or wasn't capable of doing in year two and early in year three, because he had been spoiled by working with Alex Smith for as long as he had. And you're talking about a guy that understood everything you were telling him and understood everything he was seeing and could react and adapt accordingly. And then you got to kind of scale yourself back a little bit when you're working with a quarterback that doesn't have that library and doesn't have that volume of experiences to draw upon. And you've got to adapt as a coach. That's teaching, right? Like, that's the way you do things. I do think what you hear from Ryan there is a belief that this spring that there will be a connection forged between Ben and Caleb. You heard from Caleb earlier this week, Grody, about his sense that he's vibing, in his words, with Ben Johnson, and that he really admires the sharp mind that Ben uses to see the game and to teach the game. And so Caleb's leaning into this, right? Like, I think there's a sense that he believes in Ben, and the belief is the first seed for trust, you know, and then you've got to build from there. To that initial point that you brought up, you heard Ryan there say also, like, some of this is about understanding the volume of what someone can handle, right? That's not easy either. I'm like, we're going to be hard on you. We're going to be demanding, but there is a certain breaking point where it's more than pushing. It's overwhelming, you know? And so you've got to find that thin line and know how to walk that tightrope. And that's going to be a challenge for Ben Johnson as a first-time head coach, who's got a lot of other things on his plate as well to try and get the most out of his quarterback, but understand that, hey, listen, there's going to be a point where you're going to have to give him, as Caleb talked about a year ago, some grace and some understanding that, hey, just need a breather here and we'll pick it up again here soon.
Grace without babying him. You know what I mean? Like, because that was part of that was your initial question, right? Like, the idea that the balance between being overly protective, I guess, would be the word, of a young quarterback, which it sure felt like, just from talking to players in the locker room, and you could read between the lines, and a lot of times that nothing sinister, but maybe let's push number 18 a little bit more.
No, right. And it's like what Jalen Johnson said earlier this week. Like, if you see something, say something, and you know, push for that accountability piece. Ryan took that question in a direction that I wasn't necessarily expecting, as it relates to the on-field, you know, are you a creative artist all the time, or do you have to learn how to play? And I think his words were, play within the lines first. Right. And so there is a certain element of, like, look, we know you've got all these gifts, these off script gifts, but you also have to master some of this on script stuff first before those things can really flourish. And so it can't just be, hey, I could go make a play on my own, so that's why I abandoned the play that you called. there's got to be some accountability there. Like, look, I know you turned that into a 12-yard gain, but the play was this. And I remember conversations with Luke Getsy during Justin Fields' breakout. I guess that would have been, I lose track of the years, 2022, where I think it was the touchdown run against the Dolphins, if I'm not mistaken, where it was like this highlight reel play that turned Soldier Field upside down. Mm-hmm. And then the first time we talked to Luke, it was like, yeah, but the play was designed for Justin to be on time. Oh, this yeah. wide open Darnell yeah. Mooney pass right over the middle. And so while it's great yeah. to celebrate the home run, the path to getting there, ignored the idea that he didn't master basic fundamentals of quarterbacking, you know, and that was like our first like warning sign on like, if you get over reliant on this other stuff, you're going to miss out on the steps needed to become a true surgeon at the NFL quarterback position.
Right. And part of the where I'm conflicted a little bit on all that is at the beginning of the season, Caleb Williams really was staying in the pocket to the point where I was like, where's the elusiveness? Why is he not getting out of there? There's a lot of times where he was just letting the defense collapse around him and he would go down. And I think part of that was that I really do think that he wants to be thought of at least as a pocket quarterback. I mean, that was one of the big things that he came in talking that big game. And I think somewhere along the line in his brain, it just like, he didn't know how to do that. Like, when do I eject? Do I, how patient should I be? He didn't right. have the clock in his head right yet.
And part of the reason the clock in his head wasn't entirely calibrated is because he lost faith in the offensive line and he lost faith in the coaching staff. And when you lose faith in like the people that are sending the plays in and the people that are blocking for you, all of a sudden it's chaos. And that's yes. why 2024 was chaos. And so that's what you're trying to avoid here. You're trying to show Caleb, listen, man, like we went out in January and we got the brightest offensive mind in the coaching market and we brought him in to work with you. We followed that up 6 weeks later by getting you three established, proven, high-level interior offensive lineman to play with. We've given you a top 10 draft pick in Roman Dunze as a playmaking wide receiver. You've got DJ Moore, who's established as one of the better receivers in this league. Like, you've got what you need. Now you just have to trust in us, believe in us, and then use that to kind of play the game that we're setting up for you. And Jared Goff's a great little card that Ben Johnson has in his back pocket to say, listen, like, he was in MVP conversations last year, and this was a guy that was basically pushed to the recycling bin curb in LA, and we turned him into a guy that was eyeing up a Super Bowl and was in the MVP conversations. And so just follow the blueprint that we're giving you, and you can enjoy a similar ascent and a similar breakthrough, and we'll test that out. And when we get into training camp first, and then obviously when the regular season starts.
Yeah, I do think Caleb will follow him as we've talked about. These two have been admiring each other from afar for a while. So I think that there is legitimate respect. Great stuff, Dan. Awesome stuff there. Some exclusive audio from Dan Wiederer and Ryan Poles from the owners' meetings, which just went down recently. Another reminder before we get out of here, if you do want to be part of our live studio audience, for our live show, go to 670thescore.com/contest to enter for a chance to win your way in. It is April 17th. That is a Thursday between 6 and 7. Not only will you be part of the live studio audience, we will be live on The Score. And who knows? We might take the microphone into the crowd at some point in time.
I would hope that we do that for a little bit, because I'd imagine those folks will come loaded with questions and insight that we want to address. I've also challenged you privately and now publicly to sit down at the tables with the assistant coaches that will meet for the first time next week yes. at Hallis Hall and try to convince one of them to get in the shotgun seat with you and drive from Hallis Hall down to the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage downtown, and maybe it will truly become the most important episode in the history of the podcast, because you were able to get a carpool buddy.
Challenge accepted. Who you want? Rauscher? You want the offensive line coach? Who are we looking at here?
It's going to be Kenny Norton III, or that's who we're going to wind up with. I don't even
not JT Bear. We're not going to get the quarterbacks coach. Okay.
Antoine Randall L. Just tell him, listen, like, you've been a score listener your whole life, L.
yo, what up, L? Yeah, exactly. We deserve Antoine Randall L. I fear, though, there's going to be a lot of, like, he's going to be one of the stars. Well, I don't fear that. Good for him. He'll be one of the stars. Eric Bieniemy, that would be interesting.
Yeah, EB predated me in Minnesota, but we have shared connections from that time because he left the Vikings the year before I got there. I talked to Adrian Peterson more than once about the hard driving coaching style of Eric Bieniemy, and so maybe you can learn about that on the drive down to the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage.
There you go. Hey, I knew that you were tight with him once you called him EB. A nice flex right there. EB, get the hell out of here. Who do you think you are anyway?
That's just a little bit of panache.
For Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune, for our executive producer, Adam Studzinski, I am Mark Brody. Thanking you for listening to and watching, if you would like, the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.